And the rest of us can turn to Luke chapter 2. You know, again, that whole concept of coincidence when it comes to what the Lord does is really totally, that word has no meaning. I do believe that the Lord does things. He orchestrates things. He puts things together. He puts things in our mind. He gives us all of that, and you know, He coordinates it far better than man can. And you know, we sit there and we try to do stuff like that, and we fail, and we sometimes, if you will, as Brother Wayne Shemus said, sometimes we plan God right out of it. And you know, it's a blessing to hear that, to hear those the kids sing, the adults too. And there they are singing about peace. Peace and goodwill toward men. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is a very, you know, well-known passage. And we find in Luke chapter 2 in verse 8, it says there, and there were in the field, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel of the Lord said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he shall be a sign unto you, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we just come to you this morning with humble hearts and, Lord, a mind that is desiring and thinking about the things that you have done for us, the great gift of coming to give us salvation, to give us forgiveness of sins, to give us an eternal home in heaven, to give us such wonderful gifts that you bestow upon us. And Lord, I just pray that we would have the mind this morning that is in line with your word and that is in alignment with your will, that we would take these things and that we would seek peace the way you desire it to be. That only peace, Lord, can come from you. I thank you again, Lord, for this time and these that are here this morning. And all of this I just pray is pleasing and honoring to you. And this I pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke chapter 2, we find this passage is very familiar. And if you've ever watched the Peanuts Christmas episode with Charlie Brown, you've probably seen Linus get up there and do that in his little part of the program and the play that they're putting on. And again, you know, setting aside some of the things that Charles Schulz believed, it is still a great testimony that is given. And it still plays today. And people still watch it today, and so for some it's become a family tradition. Some people, you read this, you know, this passage around this time of year. And while we've talked a bit about the names of Christ, and we've talked about some of those things that the Lord has done, I can't help but just sit there and think about how great it is that He brought peace to this earth. And when we think about peace, not everybody realizes the same kind of peace that we can have right now. In 2023, there's a group called the Global Peace Index. It found that global peacefulness has declined for the 13th time in the last 15 years. The top countries that are peaceful are Ireland, New Zealand, Iceland, Denmark, Austria, and Singapore. They were ranked as the top. The United States ranked 131st, and Afghanistan was at the bottom. The Middle East region is often identified as the key area driving global deterioration in peacefulness due to ongoing conflicts. Global spending on arms is approximately $1.8 trillion and is estimated that the annual cost of war, not calculating those, is $1 trillion. By contrast, and I understand the organization, the entire UN system, its peacekeeping operations, humanitarian programs, development work, and much else, costs $50 billion a year. Quite a disparity. What does that tell us? It tells us that man is a warmonger and has been for a long time. And we need peace. And the Lord has set up certain things throughout His Word and throughout the world to identify peace. I mean, you think about it, the name of the city Jerusalem is, you know, in its Hebrew sense, is two words put together. One which means the Lord will provide, and the other one that we're familiar with, peace or shalom, shalom is referring to peace, and you put those together, and it means that the Lord will provide peace. People talk about it, well, it's supposed to be the city of peace, the city of peace, and yes, I understand that may be a sense, but when you get to what the Hebrew actually says, it says the Lord will provide peace. And there's a lot that's going to be focusing around that city when the Lord comes back and actually rules and reigns, and there will be that 1,000 years of peace where there is no war anymore. Until the very end, when they decide to be deceived by Satan himself and try to rise up against the Lord after 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. Right. It just goes to show that man still does not want God to bring that peace. But what we find these angels saying specifically in verse 14 of Luke 2, talking about glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. On earth, peace. And I want to talk to you this morning, talking about, if you will, one of the names of Christ. We've talked about, him referred to as light and many other names. And again, there's several hundred names of Christ that we could focus on. But the main one that I want to focus on this morning is the title that we find over there in Isaiah chapter 9. And if you turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and we look at verse 6, we find this passage clearly identifies not only just the name, but also the character of God and what He is going to do. And very clearly, it shows what He is going to bring. And in verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder." And it says, "And His name shall be called Wonderful," with a capital W. "Counselor," with a capital C. "The Mighty God." That's interesting. That's very much a, if you will, a passage showing the Trinity, the Godhead. "The Everlasting Father." Oh, there's another one. Jesus Christ is called the Everlasting Father. Ooh, that's interesting. But take a look at what it says there. "The Prince of Peace." Not a Prince of Peace, but the Prince of Peace. Not just some, you know, in that article that is there, I don't know if you noticed that, but that's capitalized for a reason. To emphasize and to show very clearly that this is not just about, if you will, a prince that has some little bit of influence into peaceful operations here on earth. No, He is the one that will physically bring peace to the earth. But before physical peace can be brought to the earth, there needs to be a reconciliation and a peace between God and man. Because man has been at war with God, is at enmity of God, and very clearly is an enemy of God at times. And the only way that that is resolved, the only way that is reconciled, according to scriptures, is through Jesus Christ. His title, the Prince of Peace. In verse 7, it says, "Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When you realize right there in this passage, in Isaiah chapter 9 and in verse 7 and in verse 6, we find very clearly that the Lord is saying what is going to happen. Now, obviously, there are some things that are referencing to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ and then also referencing to all of eternity. With eternity, there will always be peace. Sin is eliminated, death is gone. All of those things are taken care of, and we find Jesus Christ ruling and reigning, and it says that these things are going to be, there's going to be no end to that peace. But as we just saw from some of the statistics that this world sees, that for the 13th year in a row, it has declined, and we are living in a more violent society than we were last year. People come along and say, well, there's actually more people that are not experiencing war, and they're not experiencing war like their forefathers had, where war ravaged Europe and war was raging throughout Asia and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you this, there's still wars that are going on. But man doesn't want to talk about those wars. I mean, how many of us are, we get a lot of updates about what's going on over in Ukraine, and it takes central stage. We get a lot of updates about what's going on with Israel and Hamas, and right now what's going on with Syria, which is, again, just, that's a nightmare. Just keep in mind that the new rulers, that Islamic, kind of, if you will, revolutionary group that we've kind of helped support and so on and so forth to get Assad out of there, that we gave some money and some weapons to, and we're helping them. You know who they are? Their name is Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is now ruling Syria. And who put them in place? We never learn. We never learn. Whatever fits our agenda at the time, right? And we look at war, and we look at all the things that go on, and we look at all of the disasters that are out there in the world. I mean, we see all of those. Those are front and center stage. But what about the stuff that's going on over there in the Sudan? How much do we hear about what's happening in the Sudan? Christians having to flee because of persecution and war and violence against them, where they're trying to eradicate them. And Sudanese, by the thousands, are coming to Christ through the missionary efforts that are there by other countries, but not through the United States. But I say all that to say this, war is just all over the place. And we read this passage and we begin to realize that the authority for peace is found only in Jesus Christ. There is no other place. You think about that word prince, and again, from its Latin roots and everything that it comes from, it means, if you will, to take first in things, and if you kind of want to put it this way, to think about it, it really truly means to take a hold and to hold on to something, to be able to give. That's what princes are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be doing that. They're supposed to be the primary. They're supposed to be the ones that are, if you will, deliverers. But many times those princes rule wickedly. But Jesus won't. Because he talks about peace. And again, when we think about peace, we think about, if the etymology, it goes back to root words which have to deal with fastening, and specifically fastening an agreement or a covenant. And it has a notion of binding together through some sort of treaty or an agreement together. And what we find is that's very true when the angels are saying peace on earth, we find very clearly that the Lord is saying he will bring that peace. There will finally be, if you will, a covenant and an agreement to lay down arms, to lay down the fighting, to stop all of the warfare. But what has to come is man has to say, I'm willing to submit to that authority. And many won't. Many defy God. Many reject him. And they do so erroneously and bring about more war and more violence upon them while they seek to have peace themselves. Many times they bring war for the purpose of thinking that they're bringing peace. This authority that is given by God to Jesus Christ, by God the Father, to make peace with man is very evident in Scripture. We'll see a few passages this morning that show this, that shows that he is, if you will, that authorized representative that is duly commissioned and appointed to bring about that binding agreement of peace with man. And that binding agreement of peace with man was sealed and signed with the work of the cross.
Amen.
I was talking with Bob today, and he said downstairs, he said this, he said, you cannot disassociate the birth of Christ from the death of Christ.
No.
You can't.
No.
Because he came to die.
Right.
He came to give himself. He came to give a gift. He came to give the best gift that you'll ever get. And sometimes, you know, around this time of year, people are sitting there going, oh man, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? The best gift that is ever given is Jesus Christ. The best gift is his shed blood on the cross. The best gift is his death. The best gift is the resurrection by which we can have that restored, reconciled relationship with our Creator and our God. On earth, peace. On earth, peace. Turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to go through several passages this morning, and I want us to focus on these verses for the purpose of understanding what the Bible says about peace. In Psalms chapter 29 is the passage, Psalm chapter 29, and we find in verse 11, we find it says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He's the one that's going to give it. The President of the United States isn't going to bring peace. Congress isn't going to bring peace. They don't even get along with each other on the other side of the aisle. Nations aren't going to bring peace. You think Russia's going to bring peace? United States can't bring peace. They don't bring peace. The Lord will. You take a look at the next passage over in Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37, and we're going to see in verse 37, again, this principle of peace. It says, I want you to note this here. This is why peace can never be brought by man. This is a messianic passage. This is a messianic prophecy. It says, mark the perfect man. How many of you here want to be marked like that? How many of us can be? Nobody's going to raise their hand on that one. It says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is what? Peace. What was the end of Jesus Christ? Peace. Mark the perfect man. Who is that? Jesus Christ. You take a look at the next passage that's on this list in Psalm chapter 85. Psalm chapter 85, and I'll tell you this, you want a good definition of some words, a good definition of who God is, of what Christ is about, what he's going to do, and his character, his traits, everything, you go to the book of Psalms. Because it just speaks volumes of Christ. And in Psalms chapter 85 and in verse 10, one that I quote frequently, he says, mercy and truth are met together. What does that mean? It means you cannot have mercy if you do not have truth. What does that mean? When we look at the next part, it says, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They are intimately connected. You cannot separate the two. Meaning that you cannot have peace without righteousness. Man will never be able to do that. Why? Because our righteousness is as a filthy rag. Mark the end of the perfect man, or so you mark the perfect man over there, and you find that his end is peace. And what do you find here? You find that the only way to bring about that peace is with righteousness. And he is righteousness altogether. Take a look over in the book of Isaiah, on Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, and in verse 17. Again, we find something very specific about righteousness and peace, and it says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. You know how sometimes the people will talk about there's no peace in a home? You want to know why there's no peace in a home? Why there's no peace in relationships? Why there's no peace in workplaces, sometimes there's no peace in congregations, some things of that nature. The main reason why is because there isn't enough righteousness there. And when you pool the collective righteousness of all the human beings together, it still doesn't amount to anything but a bunch of pile of dirty rags. So what needs to happen? Jesus has to bring peace in. He has to be the focus. He has to be the center. Because the work of righteousness which he did on the cross is peace. You want quietness in your life? You want assurance in your life? Focus more on Jesus Christ. I love this passage because, you know, many times, and I did too when I was younger, I struggled with assurance. Whether I was saved or not. And I realized that the more that I focus on who God is, the more I focus on Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he tells me is right, the more peace I have and the more assurance I have. If you're struggling with assurance of salvation this morning, I want to tell you this. Focus on Jesus Christ a lot more. If you're struggling with those thoughts, you're not focusing enough. Ramp it up. Well, how much more? Till you stop having the thought. How do you get rid of the thought? You replace it with a godly thought. And again, when our mind is thinking on Jesus Christ, it's really hard to think of something else. It's difficult to sit there and think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for our salvation and then just to go ahead and continue in sin. You got to be some kind of rebel to do that. Yeah. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other, and it says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." That's the only way that peace comes about. Turn over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5. In the New Testament, Paul talks a lot about peace. Not going to look at all the passages, and he talks quite a bit about it in Romans. We'll see some here in Romans chapter 5, and in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's not through us. It's not through anyone else. It doesn't say in there, we have peace with God through Ken Stewart. Oh, good night, no. No. You insert your name in there. You can insert whoever it is that you think is the epitome of a godly person, a godly man, a godly woman, whoever it may be, some sort of pastor or theologian or evangelist or whatever it is. They are nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Only by Him do we have peace with God. Only by Him do we have that justification. I want you to keep that in mind as we look at some of these other passages and go back over to the book of Psalms. I know we're giving our Bibles a workout this morning. If you need another one, we've got some downstairs for you. And as I said before, if you ever need a Bible, we'll get you one. I know people have them on their phones and such, but there's something about holding it and flipping the pages. I'll just say that. I'll leave that one alone, to each their own. Psalm chapter 4, and in verse 8, it says this. It says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Psalm chapter 4. I want you to think about that for a moment. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You have a problem getting to sleep? It's probably because your mind isn't at peace. I understand if there's some sort of medical condition that you've got an issue with. I get that. I understand that. But I'll tell you this. Peace is going to come by God, by Jesus Christ. And the only way to lay down in peace and to sleep is to have our thoughts on Him. I like the last part. And this is a great verse that I had to learn because, you know, I'm always sitting there and I'm a fretter. I'm a worrier. I'll sit there and I will fret that thing out. You know, they've got these little things nowadays where it's called felting. If you've ever seen them, they create these little felt creatures and, you know, animals and things and so on and so forth. What do? They sit there and they fret the felt out, you know, to make it fuzzy and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I'd have like a whole collection of those in my emotional life. Why? Because that's what I would do. But you know what this verse tells me? Safety is of the Lord. Yeah, I can prepare, but you know what? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if a giant meteor is going to hit me. I don't know if lightning is going to strike me. I don't know if all of a sudden there's going to be a resurgence of murder hornets and they think that I'm the one that they need to take out. Anything, right? Safety is of the Lord. And when I sit there and I focus on that verse, you know what? All of that fret and all of that worry goes away. All of that anxiety that I'm using incorrectly is put in its rightful place. And what happens? I will both lay, as it says there, lay me down in peace and sleep. You want to turn your mind off? Think about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Rest in Him. Why? Because He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. Go back over to the book of Romans. Yep, the binding on your Bible is going to get a workout. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And here's what He tells us to do. I want you to keep this in mind. First and foremost, we know that the angels said, peace on earth because of Jesus Christ. We know very clearly that we've seen that only Jesus Christ is going to bring about peace to His people because He is the Prince of Peace. We also understand that the way He's going to do that is because of His righteousness and who He is. That's the only way that we're going to ever have any type of peace in our life. And that's the way that we have peace with God. The end result is He says this. Seek it. Verse 19 of Romans chapter 14, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith we may edify another. We talked about edification this morning Interrelationships, what are you supposed to be pursuing? What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be comforting. You're supposed to be encouraging. You're supposed to seek those opportunities to excel at edifying. And here he says, you need to seek after those things that are going to do that. What does that mean? It's not just going to happen. You actually have to seek it. Look for that. Part of the circumspect walk is looking for the opportunities that God is placing in your life. What do we find here in this passage? He says, follow after the things that make for peace. James says the reason why we have war is because we follow after the things that we lust after. And Paul says here, follow after the things that make for peace. Well, who is he talking about in that passage? Jesus Christ. It's a youth group answer. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Yep, that's it. You got it right. Follow after him. You know what makes that peace? The Word of God. This book. Follow after the things which make for peace. Let's go back over to the book of Psalms. You're like, well, why can't you just get them all in one sitting? Because, you know, I'm trying to make a point here. Psalm chapter 34 this time. Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34 and in verse 14. Here's the things where in verse 11, I want to start there. He says, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Well, what's the fear of the Lord? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We live in a day and age where people don't want police pursuits because people have died because of that. And of course, they blame the police officers chasing them. Inappropriately sometimes. There's a site out there that specifically addresses Georgia State Police. Because Georgia State Police, they don't mess around. When a pursuit begins, oh, they will follow it to the end. All the way to the end. And this thing will show you exactly how they view pursuits. And if you've ever seen those police pursuits and people are flying down the roads at, you know, ungodly speeds, and right behind them is a state trooper or a police officer, and they're pursuing it. And I mean, they want this guy. They want to get him. He's wanted for something. And they pursue it. And those officers, they're trained to drive like that. They're trained to pursue those things. In a race, you've got the leader of the race that's in that position, and then you've got everyone else. What are they doing? They're pursuing them. In a race, what are you doing? You're pursuing the car that's in front of you, and you want to overtake that car. And you do that how many ever times to get at the front? And then you have the whole pack pursuing you. You pursue it. You ever seen a dog pursue its prey? Just watch the greyhound as it pursues that little furry bunny that it thinks that it's going to get a treat for. And watch them race and run. Ever see a terrier see something and it's like, and then it's like, It will get that, and it will dig to China if necessary to get that. They pursue it. You know what? That is how you need to live your life. Seek peace and pursue it. You know what that means specifically? When you look at it from the context of the Prince of Peace and on earth peace with Jesus Christ, you have to pursue Christ. And some people are just content to let Christ pass them by and keep going, and they're fine, and they'll keep their distance, they'll keep a good distance back. You ever have one of those things where you're doing the caravan and somebody says, hey, I'm not familiar with how to get there, and you say, oh, just follow me. I'm going to refrain from a sermon illustration here. You can talk about it later. You could go ahead and ask Amy about that one. But, you know, and you've got somebody behind you, and sometimes the person is, you know, you can keep up. I like trying to be that good person that drives at a decent rate of speed and, you know, make sure I'm constantly looking in the rearview mirror, making sure they're behind me, you know, memorizing the shape of their headlights and everything. So I know they're behind me. Whereas some people, they're like, okay, yeah, follow me. And then it's the running of the Daytona 500. And you're weaving in and out of traffic and you're sitting there thinking, man, I'm going to get a ticket. You're desperately trying to pursue. You need to pursue Christ with that same vigor. You need to pursue Christ with that same desire. We see people today pursue things in their career, pursue promotions, pursue bonuses, pursue whatever. Sometimes in relationships, a man is pursuing a woman, or a woman is pursuing a man, or however it may be, people pursuing each other. The one you should be pursuing is Christ, the Prince of Peace. You want peace in your life? You want it that way? Here's how you get it. He says, seek peace and pursue it. Jesus Christ is peace. Turn back over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 33, it says, for God is not the author of confusion. Amen and amen. You know who is the author of confusion? Lucifer himself. Sits there and he'll debate and do all sorts of crazy stuff, and just to get people, you know, to just stop thinking about God. For God is not the author of confusion, but of what? Peace. As in all the churches of the saints. Right there, verse 33, he says God is the author of peace. Not man. God. You want to know something about a subject? You go to the person that wrote the best book about it. You want to know more? You talk to the author, the one that wrote it, the one that penned it, the one that had the passion to put it down on paper. Jesus Christ is that author. He is the author of peace. The opposite of peace is confusion. Look, being in a combat situation, being in a situation like that, there's confusion all over the place. War is confusing. Friendly fire. Trying to identify targets while you're getting shot at. all sorts of stuff like that. Look, you know, those are not peaceful things. Those are things that are very confusing. And I'll tell you, war is confusing because many times people sit there and go, what are we fighting for anyways? Why are we here? Why are soldiers dying? Why are civilians dying? That's not a God. The fog of war. God's not the author of that. God's the author of peace. Take a look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I have a couple more verses here and we'll be done. But I'm showing you what the Word of God says about this subject of peace. How peace on earth can happen. And it's only through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, and we find in verse 6, it says this, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Again, how do we lay down and sleep and in peace? We have to have the mindset to think that way. Now look, and it's not just an intellectual assent, it is a heart attitude, because you think with your heart. That's what God says. That's how Jesus Christ phrases it. You think with your heart, because what is in your heart is what you will think about. And the only way to truly have peace in your life is to be spiritually minded in your heart and to think consistently about the things of God instead of to sit there and think consistently about the things of the flesh. What we lust after, what we want, what we desire in our flesh, the temptations that come that says, I must have this. The war and lust that James talks about. To be carnally minded is death. And death is not peaceful. People may say, well, they pass peacefully in their sleep. And I understand what they're saying. But I will clearly say this. Death is not a peaceful thing. It's the end of something. Cells dying. It's difficult. But as the Lord talks about here, when we're spiritually minded, there can be that peace that He brings. Turn back to the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 26 now. Isaiah chapter 26. Hopefully by the end of this, you'll have an idea where Psalms, Isaiah, and all the rest of the New Testament is. Isaiah chapter 26, and I want you to see here, again, talking about Jesus Christ, talking about what's going to happen, talking about some millennial things, talking about all of these things that are related to God in whom we trust. And he says in verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." And then he goes into verse 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever." Not tomorrow, not today, forever. I'll tell you, when you trust Jesus Christ, He'll have peace. This is why we say, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where that comes from. Because you're trusting Him to bring the peace. You're trusting Him that He's going to do what He said. You're trusting Him that when He signed that covenant in His blood and said, I will pay for your sins and I will forgive your sins, you're trusting Him. And I'll tell you this, the more trust you have in Christ, the more you think about Christ, the more you focus on His righteousness, peace will rule your life. Peace will rule your life. Sitting in a hospital bed all those many days last year and so on and so forth, I'll tell you this, there was a peace. And one of the things that truly was a focus when I went through it first time in 2022 was to sit there and think, I need to trust God in this because I got no control over what's going on. And the more I learned that lesson of trust in 2022, the more peace came to me in 2023 going through that. And still, even this year, going through what I went through, peace. And what I'm going to have to do next year, because the saga isn't done. There's another episode. You know what? I have peace about it, though. Because I'm trusting Him. You think I'm going to trust the doctors? Think about that for a moment. That's why when that happens, I pray, Lord, grant them wisdom. I don't want them sitting there looking at it and going, oh, hey, that is that the spleen or is that the liver? I don't want some first-year medical student. Trust comes through Him. Trust in Him brings about that peace. Two more passages, one that's familiar over in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And here we are thinking about the names of Christ, and we think about it this time of year. Thinking about the name Jesus, thinking about the name Emmanuel, thinking about the name Light, thinking about the name Prince of Peace. And here we are in Philippians chapter 4, and what does it say in verse 7? It says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." The more you trust Him, the more you cast your care on Him in verse 6, the more you do those type of things, the more you do that, the more peace will rule in your hearts and in your minds. And what will it do? It will keep you. You know what a keeper is? A keeper is a protector. A keeper is a guardian. A keeper is somebody that makes sure nothing gets in that shouldn't be coming in. That's what a keeper is. Let's understand this. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, will keep your heart and your mind when you trust Him wholly with everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll close with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. A church that is going through some difficult times of persecution. Talked a little bit about it in Sunday school in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it says here in verse 23, and it says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." A lot of people talk about sanctification and they have no idea what they're talking about. Real sanctification only comes from a God. Not through what we do. And he says right there, the very peace of God will sanctify you wholly. You trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that sanctification's there. And I will tell you this, the more you trust, the more you're going to understand how you are set apart, how God has a purpose for you, how God has a design for you, how God has specifically preserved you, how God has oriented things in your life to truly serve Him the way you should. You get a hold of that sanctification, you begin to realize very clearly, I've been given a purpose by God. And that purpose is to serve. You can't serve Christ if you don't know the peace that it brings. You don't understand sanctification because people don't understand peace, which all comes down to trusting Him and trusting Him wholly. He'll sanctify you wholly. But it's time we, as believers, trust Him wholly. He is the only way peace is ever going to come in your life. He is the only way that peace is ever going to be in this earth. He is the only way peace will ever exist forever and ever and ever. Not by the hands and the doing of man. Not by the UN. Not by any country. Not by any party. But by Jesus Christ and Him alone. On earth, peace and goodwill toward men. The angels sang of that glory. The glory of God is demonstrated by that peace. Are you here today and do you have peace with God? If you're saved, born again, child of God, you're at peace with that. But I'll tell you this, we still need to have active peace. We still need to be pursuing it actively in our life to ensure that we are still demonstrating the glory of God. It is hard to demonstrate the glory of God in your life if you don't have the Prince of Peace ruling in every part of it. Pursue Christ. Pursue peace. You will find it. Not in self-help. Not in a program. But in this book that He's preserved for you. Which, by the way, is the agreement of peace. Right here. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this time You have given to us. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that we can hear about You being the author of peace. And Lord, I just pray that as we focus on this morning, that we would meditate more every single day about peace. Your righteousness, which brings it about. The works of Your righteousness bearing that fruit of peace. Lord, I pray that we would have a concept of that we would understand that we would desire it in our lives, and above all, Lord, to please You, to honor You, to bring You glory and praise for all that You've done. And Lord, I pray that as we have this hymn of invitation, that we would meditate on that. And if there's somebody here that doesn't have peace, I pray, Lord, they'd get it taken care of. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give an opportunity to respond. If you're here today and you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're still at war with God. And He doesn't want to be at war with you. He's extended peace. He wants to be at peace with you. And if you're here today and you don't know that peace, you can't. And somebody will take and show you from the Word of God how you can have peace, how you can have salvation, how you can have forgiveness of sins. If you're here today and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to come forward as we sing the songs, as we close with a hymn. Don't be embarrassed. Don't delay. Nobody's going to sit here and judge you or think about it weird or anything. Just come and respond. If you're here today, Christian, and maybe you're just realizing you don't have the peace the way you should, maybe there's still some conflict, maybe there's still some confusion that's going on, you know, that's not of the Lord. That's because of sin that's in your life. You got to get that taken care of. Start focusing on the Lord. Start focusing on Christ. Start focusing on the Word. Get that changed. If you need to come and you need to pray and you need to get some help with that, and you need to come and say, hey, look, I'm dealing with something. Can you pray with me? There are people here that will pray with you. There are people that are here that will comfort you and will edify you and will show you from the Word of God, will counsel. If that's you here today, just come forward.